Our study this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 20, verses 13 to 21, Proverbs with directions on righteous living. Where Proverbs 10, 1 to 15, 33 contrasts wise, upright lives with foolish, wicked ones, Proverbs 16, 1 to 22, 16 focuses mainly on the upright life, and it guides us on how to live righteously in many realms of our experience. So we view each proverb in this section to draw out its deeper insight that Proverbs 1, 5 to 6 implies exists. As we've said often before, Proverbs 1, 5, and 6 indicates that even a wise man will still gain instruction from Proverbs. These Proverbs were designed, they were given by a man who had greater wisdom than anyone either before him or after him. Of course, that's with the exception of the Lord Jesus himself. So that there is always room to grow. I've challenged people to do this, take a proverb sometime, one that strikes you as especially interesting in type it up or run it off of the printer on your computer, and then just put it with magnets on the refrigerator and look at it for a year or two, and it's just amazing how much information and depth that the Lord uses there. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word this morning. Father, we thank You for the privilege of gathering together this morning. We thank You for the opportunity of fellowship around the Word of God. We thank You for the indwelling Spirit of God who is our teacher, the one who runs alongside, helps us and guides us, teaches us, corrects us. We ask, Father, for wisdom today to understand the passage and to use it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 13 to 27. Let me read the verses. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, says the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. We'll have to retranslate that to get the feel of it. Verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, actually a multitude of red corals, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety or collateral for a stranger, and take pledge of him for a strange or actually an immoral woman. We'll have to retranslate that, obviously. Verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. We'll retranslate that. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. And an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Okay, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 teaches, do not love sleep, lest you be dispossessed. The Hebrew word is yerash. It can mean come to poverty, but it often carries the connotation of being dispossessed by somebody else. So love not sleep, lest someone else dispossess you. Open your eyes, and you will be filled with bread. The word bread also doubles for food. It's the word lechem. You're familiar with the term Beit Lechem or Bethlehem. It's the house of bread or the house of food. So, not paying attention to the actions of other people leads us to be dispossessed by those who are greedy. But if one observes what others do around him, he avoids abuses by the unscrupulous and earns a good living. A lot of times, a person is hurt because he hasn't paid attention to what somebody else can do to take advantage of him and to gyp him in business. So the point is, keep your eyes open. Pay attention to what's going on around you. I'll never forget one time someone loaned me some money to do something. I think it was in reference to my Bible college training. And I said, well, I'll certainly pay you back. And I started to give this long, lengthy thing. We can have something written out. And the individual said, no, I know what I'm doing with my money. I know who I lend it to and so forth. So don't worry about it. You'll pay it back. And I did. I paid it back in time. But this was a person who opened his eyes. He was a person who always watched out for what was going on around him. If he got involved in a business deal, he got to know who he was dealing with, what their track record was, what their company was like before he would launch out into the deep. And it really pays for us to do the same thing. If we just pay attention to what's going on around us, we can avoid a lot of problems. I find that if I just read, there's a access that I have to yahoo.finance, which is a website, and they give you all sorts of information. And often I'll read that information. They pool it. It's kind of like a Reader's Digest. They take it from Smart Money, take a little bit from Wall Street Journal, take a little bit from Investor's Business Daily, but they pool the best there. And very rarely do I find or I learn something from a magazine somewhere, a newspaper somewhere that I don't get from that site. And that site is updated sometimes within the day, sometimes several times a day. So I find it's always good to pay attention as to what's going on so that you don't get gypped, because there are lots and lots of greedy people, especially in the investment world, who will fleece you. That's one reason why when Facebook first came out, I wasn't even thinking of going near the initial public offering. You can, as an individual investor, you can get really badly burned on an initial public offering like that, because there's a lot of hype generally. And then there are a lot of people, actually a lot of investment firms, that will buy them the shares up immediately and then turn around and flip them, or turn around and sell them in a day or two for a lot more money. And then the company like Facebook has gone way, way down. It's lost, what, 30, 35%. The best thing for an individual investor to do is to wait a little while. Don't invest right away. Let the market judge itself out and then go at it. So keep your eyes open and you won't be dispossessed. In fact, you'll have plenty of food. So just paying attention is very valuable. Same goes in the business world. Proverbs 20:14 claims, "Bad, bad," says the buyer. Thereupon, he goes away from the marketplace and boasts. The hith pale is an intensa reflexa. So the words of those in the marketplace are often biased due to greed. So one must always evaluate everything that is claimed there. I've learned to do this with advertisements. You'll see something advertised, and sometimes it's just not true. I mean, I don't know how they get by with it, but it's just not true. They'll tell you one thing and they'll switch you for something else. So always remember, in the marketplace, everything is colored by greed. The seller is out there. He'll probably paint a picture that is better than usual. Or if you're in the selling business, someone comes along as a buyer and says, "Oh, that's a bad thing." And he's trying to do is get you to bring the price down because he wants to buy the object. So we have to remember everything around us is colored by greed. I read an article one time by a financial columnist, and he says you need to take what we columnists say with not only a grain of salt, but with a whole shaker full. He says the reality is, if we really knew what we were talking about, we wouldn't be writing columns. We'd be earning money, investing as billionaires. We're writing columns because this is what we need to do for a living, which shows, and that betrays the fact that we're not really that good. And I thought, well, here's a guy who's honest. I like his, I appreciate his approach. But it's very true. We have to pay attention and weigh everything that we hear in the marketplace. Proverbs 20:15 asserts there exists gold and an abundance of highly prized red corals. The word penin, actually are red corals. These used to grow profusely in the shallow waters of the Mediterranean, but they've been so heavily farmed, you have to go out into the deeper waters. But they were highly prized, and probably even more per ounce than gold. So there exists gold and an abundance of highly prized red corals. But lips that speak knowledge are a jewel of preciousness. And the implication is lips that speak knowledge are more valuable than even that. That tells us something about the rarity of real knowledge, and also tells us the value of real true knowledge. So those speaking words of knowledge are as valuable to the hearer as highly prized rare gems, for their knowledge leads hearers to great prosperity. It's very true. There's nothing like knowledge to equip an individual to get ahead in life. You look at any realm. You look at any realm of business endeavor. You look at any realm of investing. You look at any realm. I'm even amazed the realms that the ladies work in regards to cooking or sewing or whatnot. The more information they can get, especially online, and there are good sites, moderate sites, not so good sites. And knowledge generally is cheap because it's thrown at us from every direction. The more information that we can get, the better decisions we're going to make, and the better things will go with us in life. So always learn, always do the investigating first before jumping in. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 16 teaches, take the garment of one who takes a pledge to be collateral and hold it in pledge, if he is collateral, in behalf of a foreign immoral woman. Now, in those days when you would make a business deal, if you were the person who was buying, to prove that you were going to be making the purchase, let's say you had a down payment, you want to get the rest of the money, you would give a garment in pledge and it would be in front of the elders. And normally you would give your outer cloak or take off your sandal or something like that. And so if you really wanted to hold on to, if you felt the person wasn't going to follow through with the deal, you wanted to hold on to the garment because you could turn around and sell the garment. In those days, garments were worth a lot more than clothing would be for us today. The clothing that the man might wear would be probably in today's money around $3,500 because clothing was somewhat pricey. So you would hold the garment. And so he was saying here, if a person makes a promise to you as collateral, hold it in pledge. And if he's collateral, especially on behalf of a foreign or an immoral woman. So it's always bad to be collateral, for those needing it are generally not reliable, as their track record requires another to be to their collateral. But an immoral woman is especially unreliable, so being collateral for her is absolutely foolish. So Dave Ramsey, he has a radio show in the afternoons now, and as you know, we've had over at the Pumbar's house, they had the Ramsey tapes and on investing and on handling finances and so forth. I heard him just the other day on the radio say, collateral, being collateral for someone is, and he uses the word S-T-U-P-I-D, he calls it stupid, he comes right out and claws you. And he mentioned that the Bible really frowns on it. Because if a person needs collateral, it's generally because they're borrowing because they don't have the money, which generally means, almost always means, that they're not good at managing or they're not reliable. So the worst thing you want to do is be collateral for someone who's not reliable, because he's just going to let you go ahead and pay it off. And that's what the bank's thinking about too. I think there's a place for being collateral if you are trying to get maybe a youngster or one of your offspring to develop credit, and you want to be collateral for him so he can begin a credit line. That's one thing. You know your child and so forth. You have control of it. And if the investment, if the child's borrowing $200, you can cover it. It's not going to be a pain to you. That's one thing. But we're talking about collateral for someone else where you're leaving your financial welfare completely at risk due to the other person's actions. That's always a very bad thing. Proverbs 20:17 claims that pleasing or sweet to a nobleman, the word ish here is nobleman again, is food gained by deceit, but afterwards his mouth will be full of gravel. So even a nobleman cannot afford to obtain gain by deceit, as it causes disastrous reprisals long term. I'm not quite sure what the filled with gravel means. I know that there is a verse that talks about gravel, how it creates chipped teeth, but you can also think of this as a person being executed by someone else, and he's being thrown into a pit where he's buried hurriedly and his mouth is filled with gravel. So this could be a reprisal, you know, like if a person does business with the underworld, and the way they collect on their debts is, you know, is very permanent. So maybe that's the picture here. I'm not quite sure. But the point is, you didn't ever want to gain something by deceit. Because if you do it by deceit, once you're found out, the person who's been gypped gets angry. And often there's a reprisal. So we always need to make sure that we're on the up and up. Proverbs 20:18 asserts that we should establish plans with advice and with counsels make war. Entering a conflict is not only very risky to one's welfare, because you can always lose in an issue of a conflict, but it can indicate a lack of wisdom on the part of the one entering the conflict, so he must get advice before intentionally entering into any conflict. I've been involved in a number of counseling situations I know as a pastor, and probably more than half of the time when a person has come to me, shared how they're getting ready to get involved in a conflict, Most of the time I can tell from even from their own description, they don't have to have the other person in the conflict come to me, that they actually help create the conflict. And if they get into it, they're going to be creating a tremendous problem for themselves. So there's a great need here to avoid conflict. But if you're going to get into a conflict, let's say you're going to go and take a person to court in a lawsuit and everything, get advice, get another opinion, because many times lawsuits that we get involved with are self-inflicted. So the point is, try to avoid conflict. If you have to face conflict, or if you feel you have to get advice, and get advice from more than just one source, try several sources, because they can think more objectively as well. And then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, 19 teaches that he who uncovers or who betrays secret counsel walks about in slander. So do not fellowship with him. The fellowship is hithpio, it's an intense, it reflects it. Let me start over again. He who uncovers secret counsel walks about in slander. So do not fellowship with one who is foolish and opening wide his mouth with his lips. So we need to avoid fellowship with gossips as they expose secrets to the harm of others. People who are overly talkative get into problems. There's another proverb that says, in the abundance of words, there lacketh not sin. That's interesting. If you talk enough, and eventually you'll stick your foot in your mouth, you actually end up sinning. So the point is, be careful with your words, and be careful around people who are not careful with their words. Proverbs 20:20 claims that if a man curses his father or his mother, his lamp of prosperity — lamp is used in this context in the reference of prosperity — his lamp of prosperity will be extinguished in the pupil of the eye. And that means in the extreme of darkness, in the pupil of the eye of darkness. So God severely punishes those who disrespect their parents. So to curse one's parents will bring a severe loss of divine blessing. What's interesting about this verse is that many times, if a person is tempted to curse his parents, it's because he's retaliating. Often the parents may not be that good, or might have done something to exasperate the child and so forth. And the warning is given here, even if the parent isn't that righteous, even if they haven't treated you that well, always make sure that you never curse, but honor the parent, honor the role. Because the Bible tells us, honor your father and mother. It doesn't say honoring your father and mother if they've been perfect, because there is no such thing as a perfect honor, mother and father. It says honor your parents. God looks at our parents as the source from which we got our earthly lives. If we disrespect the source of our earthly lives, from God's perspective, our lives need to be confiscated. So we need to respect that person, or because of the person's role. So I've always shared with people, even if sometimes we've had people who have actually been abused by their parents when they were children, and I'll still say, you know, even if you feel that you can't be in the presence of your father or your mother, whatever the situation was, you still need to honor their role, because the Bible says honor your father and mother, and there's no qualification with it, because God will hold us accountable for doing that. So whatever we do, we should always respect our parents, never curse them, and then God will bless. Proverbs 20:21 asserts that an inheritance, nahalah, hastily gained, a bahal, it's an intensive passes, at first will afterwards not be blessed. And that also is an intensive passes. Both of them are in the unusual stem of the pu'al stem. So inheritances gained quickly are gained generally in greed at the cost of honoring family ties, leading to a later loss of blessing. Long term, then, we best take our time in acquiring family inheritances. Family ties are actually a lot more valuable than the inheritances themselves, because family ties go on and on. They affect the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. I mean, it goes on for generations, family ties. If we break up a family tie over an inheritance of $4,000 or $5,000, let's say, it actually becomes very, very foolish, because it breaks off ties that go on for generation after generation after generation, all over $5,000. It's ridiculous. I mean, if you keep the family ties going Well, actually, that $5,000 will probably repay itself many times over in the generations. So it's very, very important. Relationships are very, very valuable. We have to put a high priority on relationships, especially with family. If we take our time, let the inheritances come to us as they come, but don't bank on them. Just, you know, make sure that we're doing our own work and just recognize that if an inheritance comes, treat it as gravy, treat it as frosting to the cake, whatever, then we protect the relationships. We're so much further ahead in life as far as being able to sleep at night. We're far ahead because of the effects of what's going to happen with our descendants and the descendants of the people that with whom we're trying to relate. Very, very important to look at. This proverb, Proverbs 20:21, gives us an insight into true value. A lot of times, people value money above everything else. That's a big mistake. All money is a medium of exchange. There are things that are much more valuable than money. Family ties are very valuable. A good reputation is incredibly valuable because it affects business ties and relationships down the road. A bad reputation can hurt dramatically, and it's very, very difficult to reverse once you get into a bad reputation. So we have to remember there are things that we have to value a lot more than money, and then we'll be better off in life. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. Could be on any one of the items that we've covered here this morning, or it may be on something that's not related. Doesn't make any difference. We'll do our best to handle it. Yeah, Lewis.